I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your radio show today. Thank you so much for joining us this awesome morning. And I am so excited. We have a couple of great events coming up. Our next event is going to be our I've Decided to Ride, which is happening on July 29th here in Peoria. We're going to ride on our bikes from Donovan Park to Morton and back for a 20, 30, or 40 mile ride. And you can participate in that. If you go to ivedecided.org, you can find out all the information. All you really have to be able to do is ride at least 20 miles on your bike, have a bike and a helmet, and you can join us. It's going to be an awesome day. So that's happening. And then, of course, we are gearing up for our final conference of the year, which is our half-day conference happening on Saturday, August 26th. And that'll be from 9 to noon at Second Chance Church, and we are super excited about that. And then we'll kind of be winding down the year, getting ready for 2018. I know we're halfway through the year. It's crazy. So those are the things that are happening, and I just want to encourage you to check it out and learn a little bit more about I've Decided and our organization and what we're doing. Essentially, we want to help you be successful in your goals. That's what we care about. We care about you, and we care about what your dreams are and what it is that you were born to do, and we want to provide you the resources and the platform to help you be successful in fulfilling those goals and dreams. And one of the ways we do that is through motivation, obviously, and encouragement and success stories, but we also want to educate. We want to provide you with the skills that you need and the principles that you can follow to help you be successful. So we have some amazing power sessions scheduled for our half-day conference, and we're going to be bringing on guests that are going to be speaking to you live to get you excited about that. So today on the show, we have my favorite guest, Miss Darice Biggers. Hey, Darice.
Hey, Kim. Great to be here.
Yes, welcome back.
Thank you.
I am so excited. So you and I first met at our very first conference.
Yes.
Do you remember back then? Because that's almost 4 years ago.
Yes, I remember you little firecracker.
Well, that's funny because I think the same thing about you.
I said, if Kim can't motivate you, you must be dead.
And if Darice can't make you laugh, then you can't laugh. That's pretty much the sum of it. And so you came to our first motivational conference, and I love that story, so I got to get you to just give a little snippet of where it all began.
Okay. Well, I was basically at the Culinary Arts School at Southside Mission, and you were connected with me through a liaison there, and I was in the culinary field, and I had found some success in that, and you asked me to be on a panel to speak about my success as an entrepreneur and some things that I had to overcome to get there. And at that conference, after we spoke, you challenged everyone at the conference to just dream big and to write down a goal we had. And I found the courage to write down my true passion of becoming a published author, which has nothing to do with cooking.
Not really.
Not unless you're Julia Child or somebody like, you know. But I was like, this is what I really, really want to do. And you came alongside. You encouraged me. You were like, Darice, do you have a timeline? You know when you want to get it done? And where are you on the manuscript? And you came along with that burst of enthusiasm that I needed. And I set my goal and reached it that following year. And you had me come back this past January as a speaker over your lunch hour at the conference. It was wonderful to see everyone there. Very excited to see that people were like, yeah, you reached your goal, and they encouraged me. And I shared about Bad Eggs.
That was your first book.
my very first book, and it's a children's book.
Well, wait a minute, though. You don't call it that.
A cadult book.
It's a cadult book.
It's for the kid in us, big kids.
Yes, because the book is, it's not just this children's book. It has so much inspiration in it and so many principles in it that you can apply to your life to be successful. And I love that book. And you came with your books.
Yes, I did. I sold out that day. I just cried. I was so happy. And then I took orders, and that just spurred me on to get the second book in the series done.
I love it. And we're going to be talking about The Clubhouse. That's hilarious. Another great book, which we're going to talk about in this show. So you want to make sure you keep listening to this show. This is I've Decided Radio Show. And my guest today, you've been listening to her now, Darees Biggers. And you are going to be one of our Power Session speakers at our half-day conference on August the 26th.
Yes, very excited
about that. So what's that title? You're going to be teaching us about the recipe, something about the recipe of bad eggs?
Yes, because basically bad eggs are a necessary ingredient for success.
And you are saying bad eggs, meaning we all can have things happen in our lives that can be comparable.
Comparable to bad eggs. And there are a few stepping stones that I wanted to pull out kind of from the story and something I'll be focusing in more detail on in August. And that is basically being sent down south from Chicago as a child, it was a completely different world. And so when my aunt told me she wanted me to go get the eggs, I thought she meant go to the corner store. So when she handed me a bucket, you see where this thing is going?
I laughed before you said it because I already knew where it was going and I could visualize the whole thing.
So to walk in that chicken coop and check the egg and pull it out and it was brown, you know, I did what any city girl would do. I threw them away. And I'm thankful I'm living to tell this story because my aunt was not happy. But even with that, having something asked of me or requested of me, instead of me being overwhelmed with fear and apprehension, which I was, you learn the life principle of instead of choosing to be engulfed by fear, ask for help immediately. Don't delay. And if you can, ask someone with some experience or expertise.
So you could have said to
I could have asked my uncle, could you go in and, you know.
Or you probably could have just said, I don't really understand how this process works. Can you show me?
Right.
Can
you just go with me and protect me?
From the chickens.
From the chickens, you know.
Well, I love in your book, you said you went upstairs and you
got some. I put three gloves on one hand. I'm telling you, I had some Michael Jacksonitis going on that day. I was like, I just had such a terrible fear of being pecked. Shucks.
And little did you know, had you just stepped outside of that fear and asked for some help.
Yes.
Your auntie and your uncle probably would have love to have helped you and showed you that it was going to be okay.
Right, but putting on my game face like, oh, I'm going to get it done, they didn't think anything of it. How many times do we do that in life? We have a situation, it's hard, it's painful. Instead of being honest and transparent, we put on a game face like, I'm okay, it's not affecting me. And you cut yourself off from that necessary help that would make your life journey a whole lot smoother.
Oh, gosh. Where were you all my life? I needed to hear
fighting
that.
Fighting in the chicken coop. That's where I was. And then the next one is, don't be too quick to judge a situation.
Ah.
You know, those chickens were probably actually more fearful of me than me of them. You know, they didn't care either way. You know, if laying an egg is like giving birth, that chick was probably like, take whatever you want, honey. I could care less. But don't be too quick to judge situations or judge people.
Right.
We're living in a world, in a society, we haven't taught our young people how to manage their anger. And I say young people, I'm thinking, well, so many adults have issues with anger that causes so much crime, so much discord. If we could just slow down and not give in to a knee-jerk reaction, but learn how to assess, you know, what is this really? You know, in the book, I describe getting the eggs to a horror flick. And see, she's laughing again.
Now, because you know I am a Southern girl.
Right.
And so I've experienced all this in real life. I had a chicken coop. So I was right there with you, Doris. And I, but except for I love to get the eggs. So it cracks me up that we had just a different experience.
You know, like I said, of the 3 million people in Chicago, I had never met somebody get their eggs straight from a chicken. So, you know, I didn't have any previous experience to go on. It was looking bleak there for a minute. But the third step or lesson I gleaned from the book is the opportunity to be creative when you're confronted with a problem.
Like getting 3 gloves?
Bam. Only thing missing were the rhinestones, honey. I'm telling you.
So you got creative.
I got creative.
A little
adaptable.
You know,
and if you want to use the analogy of bad eggs, it's like, okay, well, what kind of eggs do you want? Scrambled, sunny side up, omelet with cheese. You know, it's a lot. Boiled. It's like a Forrest Gump for eggs, you know. It's a million. If there are a myriad of problems, there are just as many solutions, if not more.
You just have to.
You have to.
Assess.
Yeah. And be creative. Try to think outside of the box. Try not to give in to emotion as much as calmly assess where you are and where you want to be. And if you just sit out, just like you did with me in the book, you say, okay, you're a chef, you own your own business, you're a caterer.
And you're but good you wanna... at it. And
Thank
you're
you.
Good at that too, you know? I love that you're good
and
at
a lot
that,
of...
but that was not your...
That was not my passion.
I want to sidebar for 1 second because I think that happens to a lot of us. We have that passion, that purpose deep in us that we know we were born to do.
Yes.
And we can get diverted.
Yes.
To being in situations in areas where it might be something we're pretty good at.
Right.
But we know it's not what we were born to do.
Mm-hmm. I shared at the conference. I said, I'm a caterer. God gives us gifts, passions and talents. Talents are used, you know, to make an income or to make your way in life. That passion is what drives you. It's your actual purpose. And so for me, to my talent is cooking. I'm good at it, kind of because
yeah.
I'm greedy. I like to eat.
I like to eat your cooking.
But I could have gotten sidetracked for a lifetime in the culinary field, knowing deep down I had stories in me to tell. And I think what I really enjoyed was having a very close friend at the conference I spoke at. She's seen me flow in culinary, but that was the first time she had seen me speak. And she just wept. She said, I had no idea.
I know, Meg.
Yes.
Meg.
Yes.
Meg is our mutual
Meg
friend.
Newell.
Meg Newell.
Yes.
Yes. Who introduced us initially.
Yes, yes. And so to watch my birthing into a new direction, and I feel like being more fully me because I'm operating the way God designed me to operate, she saw me be successful in that. But rather anyone else saw my success or not that day, you have to come to a place in life where you're your own best cheerleader. I felt success. I felt like this is where I'm supposed to be for such a time as this.
You knew you were
yes.
being you.
Yes.
You were being you. And that's exactly what it's about. I'm so fired up right now. Aren't you? Are you listening to this show? I hope you're not driving because you might wreck. You get so excited.
And it's not just me. I mean, I'm one of many success stories to come out of I've Decided in particular. I have been to a lot of motivational conferences. And I have to say, some of them seem like they were designed to sell you their book or their way of doing it. I like that I've Decided goes way beyond that and says, make out your own game plan. Have courage to stand for yourself and your own dreams. You know best what you want to do and where you want to get to in this life. We just want to come alongside and help.
a support.
Support system.
Yes, and the resources.
And accountability is a huge piece.
Yes.
You know, I love what you've done with the conference, where it's not just once a year. You got 11 months to fall off the wagon.
Right, which is what happens if we don't stay in touch, right?
Right.
So with the half-day conferences, we are able to get you, when you start losing some motivation early in the year, in the spring, you come
she
and get
will
rejuvenated.
Call you.
I will
Kim
come.
Will call you like, Darius, are you working on the book? I would say, yes, big mama, I'm working.
And then we follow up with that half-day conference in late summer, early fall.
Yes.
And then, of course, we get ready to gear up again in January for the following year. And that's so important because most people look at motivation like, you know, cheerleading, like, come on, you can do it, you can do it. But real motivation is revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You that revelation, that aha moment when you've just learned something new or heard something in a different way,
yes,
that opens your eyes to see something a little bit differently, and it gives you that fire to catapult you into the next step.
Yes.
That's what motivation is.
Yes.
And you got to put yourself in that place. You do not want to miss our half-day conference because you have to come hear this lady. You got to be a part of her power session. You will love it. You're going to share a little bit about your journey, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Darius, can you imagine moving as a child from downtown Chicago to Arkansas? To a farm. I can't say that without laughing.
Let me speak on behalf.
to Chicago.
To the cultural mecca of Peoria.
I actually moved to Chicago first. But
the thing is, and let me just say this in Korea, I wasn't actually on a farm. We lived in town, but there were still as many animals as people. The zoning's a lot different down there.
Right, but you can have chickens in the city.
Oh, goodness.
Isn't it amazing? Where you can't have chickens in the city in Chicago, the zoning, is that what you're talking about?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that would be funny, watching the little chickens walk around with the people.
No.
But in Arkansas and some places in Alabama, you can live in the city and have little chickens walking around. It's pretty cool.
So that was a huge change, a huge shifting. And now as an adult, at the time, it was a lot of things, a big adjustment period, but now I am nothing but grateful that that transition came that early in my life, because I can live either place now.
You're adaptable.
You know what I mean? I'll eat eggs of any color, gosh darn it.
I love it. So that's the first title of your adult book.
That's right.
Bad Eggs. I don't know if we'll have time to read the whole book this time, but you'll have to come to the conference so you can learn to read and buy her second book, which is going to be...
The Clubhouse.
Yes. So give us a little insight to that book, just a taste. Like, the no girls allowed.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Well, after overcoming the egg situation, you know, I went on and I had an aunt who was very much into sewing, and she was an excellent seamstress, and I was kind of like a little doll for her to dress and do up, and I thought that, okay, fine. But I was nursing my tomboy image. Well, this particular Easter, she made me a sailor dress, a drop waist dress. Now, I have a fashion consultant, and I got an actual consultation, and she told me, Darius, you look great in most fashions, but never wear a drop waist dress. Honey, it does nothing for you. So you can just imagine me in this sailor dress. And she told me she was going to give me Shirley Temple curls.
Shirley.
You saw my hair in that picture I showed you.
You have a picture of yourself in that dress.
I have a picture of myself in that dress.
This is what
and
I
I'm
love.
Not looking happy either.
This is what I love about your books, Darius, is they're real. These are real life books.
I couldn't make up this insanity if I tried. It's like when people start talking about their families, their sisters and brothers. They're like, you know, and we're laughing. I'm like, yeah, but I got to go back home to these people.
This is real stuff.
This
right?
is real stuff.
So you had this tomboy side to you. So,
and I was teased about how I looked, and it went really wrong on Easter. And I decided that I was going to be the best little tomboy I could be. And I started a bike club in Dermot. And we had a little shack that we converted into our meeting space. And I put up a big, massive sign that said, "No girls allowed."
And your aunt kind of had a little problem with that when she brought you some cookies.
She had a little problem. She was like, "Little girl, we need to talk." And I'm trying to understand why she's so mad at me. And she said, "Who put that sign up, no girls allowed?" I said, "I did." And she said, "Lord have mercy." I'm not going to tell you how she had me stand in front of the mirror. And she said, "I want you to stand there until you get the understanding of what you've done." And I'm not going to tell anybody how long I stood in front of that mirror. But if I finally realized, oh, I'm a girl. Oh, yeah, right.
I know.
And she challenged my self-identity. She said, "You want so badly to be a tomboy. Why can't you just be a strong girl?" Mm. And I was like, wow, one of those light bulbs that comes on.
That was that revelation, that motivation.
Yes. And she said, "You're a smart girl. You're a creative girl. You're a strong girl. You know, you're God's girl. And I need you
to
just." I love
that, God's girl.
Yes. "I need you to just pray and slow down and see who you really are." And then she said, "I need you to do one more thing." I said, "What, Auntie?" She said, "I need you to accept yourself." And that self-acceptance at the starting line of life, if anything puts you ahead of the game, that's it. That self-acceptance, that comfort with your own self, your own company, the ability to put how you think of yourself above everyone else's opinion of you, that is a huge win. And the sooner in life we are able to negotiate that and figure that out for ourselves, the better. And as a mother, I'm challenged because I'm like, how much time have I spent trying to shape my children into what good children should look like versus trying to really honestly help them discover who they are and fall in love with themselves? That's a very different set of parenting skills and attitudes. And so this, you know, now I'm writing this book as a adult, and I'm like, thank you, God, for this time in my life. I'm writing it because it makes me more aware of how I'm parenting. And God, please check me, because I don't want to raise children who have hitches and hangups about who they are.
That's right. Preach it, sister. We have a church in here. I love it. Because, you know, and that is the number one thing that people have to know who they are.
Look at our society. How many people are struggling over their self-identity.
And we could do another show in itself. It's just amazing. But, you know, truly, the world is going to tell you one thing, but you have to be grounded and understand who you are. And I was just talking to someone else, and Darius, they were given a very similar analogy of what you're talking about. And it's the power of you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that power. It's that power of who you are. Mm-hmm. And who you are is awesome. Mm-hmm. And enough, and everybody needs enough to see that, and enough, and you have what you need to be who you are. I love that so much. So did you take the sign down?
I took the sign down.
I just wondered.
But I tell you what, when that church lady told me I look like a little 4-star general in my Easter dress, I wasn't feeling very Christian-like towards her.
But you know, and don't you think in that moment, Darius, you have to decide. You can decide. I've decided. You can decide. Are you going to believe them? Or are you going to say, you know what? I don't think that's true.
Well, actually, in this situation, I'm like, this dress is pretty ugly, but it's not me anyway. And will the real Darius please stand up?
Right.
You know, and so it's like, well, that's your opinion. And I really didn't care to hear it, but that's okay. I don't have to become angry or take up arms or anything like that. Just put in my Rolodex and keep moving.
Keep moving.
Keep moving.
Because we are going to have people that come.
We're going to have.
They're going to say, hey, that's not you. You do this, you did that, whatever. But you have to decide, are you going to believe that or are you going to believe yourself?
You know what? I had a conversation with my kids about bullying and how they see themselves and being teased and all of that. And my son Josiah was telling me, you know, there's a bully at school. I said, well, truth be told, honey, when you graduate high school, you get that first job, there's a bully that's going to be there waiting. And then when you get that promotion, get to the next level, there's going to be a probably a bully there. That is, if we were more honest with training our children to say, look, none of this is a fairy tale.
Life's not fair.
It's really not. But do you have the skills to pass the test at each level of your growth, at each level of your maturity? You know, that's the bigger issue, because there's just no perfect world out there, and we have to put our energy into
what you can change.
What you can change.
Which what generally you can starts inside.
With you.
Yes.
With
because you can't control what somebody else does. But don't you think it happens a lot where we spend so much energy and so much wasted time trying to figure out how to change something that we're really never going to be able to change?
Yeah.
That's what happens when we spend so much time focusing on maybe that bully. And I'm not we all know that we don't like bullies. It's
right.
No fun to be a bully,
right.
And no one should be a bully. But we spend so much time trying to fix that bully or do something about that bully where it's just really a waste of time.
Work on you.
And work on how we can be adaptable and say, you know what? I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you say doesn't change who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I teach my daughters. And my daughters have come home, Mom, so and she said this, or so and so said that, or do you know what someone said to me? You know, I think Katie gave me an example one time. She said, so and so said to me, what's that on your nose? She had like a little zit on her nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you say to her, it's a zit? What do you think it is? You know, it's like, own it. Like, it's okay. You know,
me and I'm okay.
And it's okay. And what's wrong with you, dummy? Don't you know what a zit looks like? I mean, seriously, you know?
Or me, I'm like, it's the same one that matches the one on your forehead.
And we're joking, but it is about how they respond
to it
and not take it that personal. Because what they say, the point of this is, what another person says about you does not define you.
Does not define you.
Absolutely does not define you. I love that. I mean, if you are listening right now, you have got to be a little fired up. There is just no way that you are not a little fired up. And you probably are thinking, I need to come hear this girl. I need to learn some principles. Yes. So you can find out all about our I've Decided Half Day Motivational Conference that's happening on Saturday, August the 26th. You can check us out at ivedecided.org. And Darice Biggers is going to be one of our power session speakers talking about her book, Bad Eggs, and how you can take the bad eggs in your life and make it work for your good.
Mm-hmm.
So that ultimately, all the bad things that we can have happen in our life, we can apply.
God works it together for good in the end.
It works together for good so that we can be successful, because we were born to be successful.
Be successful, yes.
That's a guarantee. You have it, you can own it. All right, so what's the plans with your new book, The Clubhouse?
It's written. It's going to press this week. So I plan to have copies available for sale at the conference.
Good, because you know they're going to sell out. Because Bad Egg, so are you going to have some more Bad Egg copies?
Yes, I have Bad Egg copies right now.
I know, because there's people that still want those too. So you're going to be able to autograph those books. And they're going to be able to meet you and
talk
to you.
And it's just as encouraging for me as it is for the audience. No big me, little you. You know, we're all on a journey together. And I'm looking forward.
I am so excited. This has been a really great show, Darice. I'm motivated. I'm ready to, I don't know what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to take a vacation.
I heard that.
I hear you. Okay, awesome. Darice, thank you so much for being here today. I can't wait to get my hands on, I already got Bad Eggs. I can't wait to get my hands on The Clubhouse. That is just a great book. I've read it, but I can't wait to have the official book in my hands and learn those principles that you're going to teach us at the Power Session at our half-day conference. And just keep on.
Thank you. Keep on writing.
I know you've got a good 10 or 12 more books inside of you, right?
Yes.
Keep them coming.
Thank you.
And we'll keep providing you that platform to put them out there. I love you, girl.
I love you, too,
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today on I've Decided Radio Show. We come at you every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on Super Hits 102.7. And just want to encourage you to continue to follow I've Decided and support the events that we are having here in the community. And most of all, support our business members who are giving back to their community by being a part of I've Decided. You can find them on the resource page on our website. Those are our community-wide difference makers. They care about you and your success. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I'll be back with you next week.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?